The world needs messages of love, unity, compassion, and inclusivity now more than ever, and this podcast delivers that. Whether you're a parent, teacher, counselor, or energy healer, with the right intention, we all have the potential to be a healing presence for others. The truth is, we are all ordinary people capable of having an extraordinary impact. Imagine if we all did that on purpose. Join Global Impact visionary leader, intuitive healer, and spiritual mentor, Sue DeMay, for authentic conversations that will inspire you to become more of a healing presence in your work, in your relationships, and in the world. And now, here is your host, Sue DeMay.
Welcome to the show. It's an honor to be here once again with you, and we are focusing on sharing these beautiful conversations with the guest authors from the book, We Are All Healers. Ordinary people with extraordinary intention will heal the world. If you don't already have your copy, you can pick up a copy through any of your favorite online platforms, online bookstores, and it's available as ebook and a print book as well. So as we continue our conversation about how we can be a healing presence in the world, how being a healing presence actually can impact our own lives, the lives of people around me, but also contribute to the healing of the whole of humanity and beyond. So we are on a mission. We are in a global healing movement here and really working intentionally to spread this message as far and wide as we possibly can. And just to confirm, this book, 100% of the royalties go to our Heart Led Living humanitarian projects. So this book is a project of the heart. It's a project of for humanity, basically. So I hope you'll continue to join us through these conversations. So today I have one of the guest authors again. And this is Kelly Taylor, who's joining us. And we actually are neighbors. We kind of live close to each other, don't we?
I think we do.
Yeah, but we've never met in person.
Not.
So let's begin with just talking about what does it mean for you when you hear the words being a healing presence?
For me, I think it's being responsible for myself and for doing my own work, because I believe that what we do inside is magnified outside. So for me, being a healing presence, I need to be responsible for myself and for what's going on in my life and what's working and not working. So for me, I think I've spent a big chunk of my life and will continue to do for the rest of my life is to work on myself and to be the best version of myself. And I love that whatever I have worked on in my life, I've always been able to notice that as I change on the inside, everything else around me seems to start to change. And that was like such an aha moment for me that, oh, I know that there's this saying where people are like, oh, you know, I need to help change people, but you don't, you just need to work on yourself. And that it's just a natural progression that people around you will start to change because your energy is different and how they respond to you will be different. So for me, I'm always going inward, and not in a way that I'm broken, but in a way of how can I be the best version of myself? What does that look like? And I think in the book, you talk about, you know, what are your triggers or what are the things that are kind of, you know, coming up for you? And sometimes I'm just like, oh gosh, we're going here again. We've got more stuff to kind of that's starting to creep up. And then I have to take the time to work on myself. And I've always enjoyed being able to make some space to be able to work on myself, because that also forces me to slow down a little bit. I'm an A-type personality who loves to go, 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 go. And this is my way of kind of slowing down and being a little bit more present. And then everything changes around me. And I've got this nice energy that I really love to stew in. And yeah. Sorry, that was really long.
No, that's great. And then you repeat, push repeat, right? It's like, And we keep doing it. It's like layer by layer, we heal those pieces of ourselves that we on some level believe is broken. And I love when you said it, it's like to approach it not from a place that I'm broken or need to be fixed, but from a place of, okay, how can I shift whatever's happening inside of myself to be a better version of me, or to be a full expression of, you know, my divinity or of love or of peace, whatever it is. So I love that. That really struck me when you said that. And a lot, I appreciated a lot of what you said, but that really struck me, you know, as a reminder, because it's so easy to be convinced the way the world is and the programming that we're living in and the way we've been conditioned to feel like we're broken, to feel like something's wrong, that we need fixing, and that we're not good enough, or we're not enough. I call it not enoughitis. You know, it's just like, there's not enough. I don't have enough. I'm not enough. You know, it's like, it's so chronic. That's the chronic illness, really, that's plaguing everybody.
Yeah. And only you can say whether or not you're enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, that messaging can come from the outside, but you have to know the truth inside you. So if that truth is that, you know, you need to work on something, well, then that's okay. And if the truth is that, no, that actually isn't me and that I am enough, well, then that's good too.
Yeah. It's like when stuff comes from the outside, I always visualize it as, okay, if it hits us, like the triggers you're mentioning in the book, I talk about the triggers. If it hits us, then it's bumping up against something that's left over within us, a thought, a belief, programming, an old wound or something, some kind of trauma, something that we're holding that needs to be addressed or witnessed or processed or healed. Mm-hmm. And then there's the stuff that comes from the outside, other people's opinions or other people's judgments of us that don't land, that don't hit us and go, you know what? That's not true for me. Actually, I don't believe that or feel that on any level. I often see that as water off a duck's back. You know, water comes and it just drips off. But the stuff that comes in and hits us, that's where you're talking about this responsibility. I always look at responsibility as we're taking ownership, but also our ability to respond.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of react. So if we can respond to those triggers from that beautiful place of like, okay, let me go in, let me see what this is about for me. Let me create the space, you know, so that I can do that, or I have space to do that. That's such a gift for you, but also for everyone around you, because the shift is felt, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And the times that it's happened where someone's tried to make me feel like I'm not enough, and I know that that is not my truth, and that I'm like, you know what, this isn't resonating with me. It's a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times it's that projection. Somebody else is trying to project what's going on in their life onto me. And so that has actually now helped me have more compassion and more empathy for that person, because they're struggling and they want somebody else to hurt, like they're hurting, or they want somebody else to feel what they're feeling. And so they're trying to project it on me. And I realized that, oh, this is now my chance to be able to show more compassion and more love for somebody who is hurting and who is struggling. So I've tried to take those situations rather than being mad at somebody that, oh, you're trying to make me feel a certain way. Instead, just try and show some more compassion for somebody else who's in this world, who's also struggling and trying to find somebody to connect with. So if they don't feel enough and I don't feel enough, then we have something in common. But I don't necessarily have to, I don't have to feel that if that's not what's going on. I won't feel that actually if it's not going on.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, recognizing that it's not yours. It's coming from a place of pain or suffering or misery within them. It's uncomfortable for them, so they project it outward onto you, and it's up to you to take it or not.
Yeah.
Or, you know, place it aside and go, no, that's not mine. And I have compassion for where it's coming from within you. But it doesn't mean that I'll take it. It doesn't mean that I'll carry it for you, or even that you'll take it on as true for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So how do you just, I don't know if you could share a little bit about how you deal with triggers, maybe give some people some ideas of what what techniques you might use when you feel triggered by something someone says. And I know you did, you just shared one there, just kind of seeing the projection and standing in that space of compassion versus judgment, judging back, staying in compassion. Is there any other tools that you use that you think would be helpful to share?
Well, sometimes I think that my hardest thing is always recognizing that I am being triggered. So that's like the hardest part in that is realizing that I am being triggered. And then when I am being triggered, you know, trying to find compassion for myself, that, oh, okay, this is another layer. This is another opportunity to learn and grow. And that's why I said before, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, not again, because it's not easy. It's not easy work. And then to kind of figure out what it is, what's underneath that trigger, that's not always easy to do. And I realized that I was a professional at being able to be busy, 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 busy. So I didn't have to hear it, didn't have to hear it. But unfortunately, that just gets louder and louder. And so finding that time, and that's what I said before, it's just finding that time and that space to have some quiet, to kind of hear what is it? What is it that is trying to come up? And sometimes I do that through meditation. Actually, a lot of times that I work on meditation to be able to help me just to have that stillness and that quiet to kind of hear what's going on, because I'm, like I said before, I'm an A type personality that likes to go and do. And so to sit in that stillness isn't always easy for me, but then to be, when I do it and I hear what's coming up, then I can decide what it is that I need. And sometimes it's counseling, and sometimes it's breath work, and sometimes it's a really good weekend with girlfriends and having, you know, time to just chat and connect and you know, be able to share. And I have a really good network of girlfriends where I've been able to be really vulnerable and to be able to talk about what's going on. And I love, because they're, I don't know, they just know when I need them to listen and when they need to be like, okay, have you thought of this? And, or I'm hearing this. So those are the best friends that you can have, when they can just help you move through things. But really, a lot of the work that I do is just that stillness, that quiet, giving myself some time to be able to cry or to journal or to be able to just be in that moment of just feeling what I feel, and then allowing that to move through. Sometimes, like recently, I was just like, you know what, this is feeling so uncomfortable. And I just went and did a really good workout to kind of move my body, because it felt stuck in my body. So I just moved my body. And afterwards, I was like, wow, I felt really good. I didn't need to talk it out. I needed to move it out. So those are a couple of the ways that I like to, you know, figure out what it is and how to process it.
Yeah. And the key is just giving it space to process in whatever way it needs. Like, yeah, it's not always the same thing. It's not always the same recipe that will help, you know, because each layer is different.
Yes.
And you touched a little bit on the idea of like, oh, here I am again. And maybe we have, you know, because I know a lot of people that are listening are probably like, I don't know how many more times I can heal my stuff around my parents or around my relationships or this specific, you know, not good enough or perfectionism. I always see it as like an onion, right? So we have these layers and we keep going, these layers and layers. So people are like, oh, not my parents again. I'm like, oh, it's another layer. That's good news. We're actually, you know, getting to the core of it. And sometimes we can move through those layers quickly, but sometimes those layers need to take a little time, especially when it comes to family dynamics and those kinds of inherited programming and relationships, because there's so much history there, right? There's so much contained in those relationships. So when I look at it as an onion and see that we're just healing layer by layer, and once that layer is healed, it's done. And there may be another layer that's similar or feels like it has a common thread in it, but it's a new layer. And of course, there's some layers that are thicker and, you know, like an onion, make us cry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talk about the onion all the time. And I also say too, like, You can have a family issue and you're peeling back those layers, but each layer you're going to use different tools. And sometimes we don't have the tools right away. That's why I think there are layers, is because we have this life experience. And during this life experience, we gather more tools. And with more tools, we're able to deal with things. But I find with each layer, it goes quicker. And we're able to pull on the different tool that we need at the time. But I think life is just about gaining these different tools. And the more you work on yourself, the more tools you get, the more tools you have, you're like, oh, okay, this was a little bit easier than I thought it was going to be. And yeah, I definitely, sometimes I look up at the universe and I'm like, seriously, really, again? And here we are. But each time it's different. It's not always the same. Even if it may be the same subject or the same kind of area, it never is the same. And then I'm just like, oh, okay, that actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And yeah, and that's what I think I like about life. And everybody knows this about me, who knows me well, as I always say, I would love to be a very healthy, vibrant 100-year-old woman who has a whole wealth of tools behind me. And because I want to see what happens in this world, like so much is happening and so much has changed in the 54 years that I've been here. And I think in another 50 years, so much more is going to happen. And I just think, wow, like how many more tools will I have to be able to kind of get through things? And I do feel like, you know, life does to some degree get easier as the more tool, and I say easier, kind of. Easy, but
your quotes,
easier, yeah. But not easy. Because I have more tools and things, and I can work through things more. And I think that the more tools I have, the more it feels like, I don't know if this is true, but it feels like I have more compassion and empathy to put out in situations. And I actually have more, I'm not wise, but I have more wisdom to know, you know, okay, this is happening, and to take a moment and to breathe and to be like, okay, and then assess what's going on and then move from there, which is a nicer place than before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like people to kind of approach it as healing is a practice, right? It's a practice, using these tools, and even the process of going inward or feeling something and recognizing it as a trigger, being aware of it, that's the first key, right? And going, okay, what can I do with this? Or where can I look to feel into this and to get underneath it? So I look at it as a practice. And the more we practice, the easier it becomes. Like riding a bike, when you first ride a bike, it's hard to balance. It's hard to figure out the steering and everything else. But once you get it, right? And it becomes a practice. But still, with riding a bike, you're still aware and you're still, you know, conscious of what train you're on, or, you know, if you're going to hit if you're on the road, you know, watching for the road bumps and the potholes and things like that, and the other traffic, right? So it's about learning to really navigate it in this life classroom, this healing life classroom. And the more we learn to navigate it, and the more tools we have, the more equipped we feel, then yeah, the easier it becomes to do the practice, right?
Yeah, I like that. Healing life classroom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never thought of it as a classroom, but it really is. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I feel like it's totally designed just for us. Like all the challenges, everything that's on our path is purposeful. If it's on our path, it's purposeful, period. That's what I believe. Yes. And so if something keeps coming up, there's a reason. And I love what you were saying is when we are doing this work and we approach it this way, we can have more compassion and empathy for ourselves, because we are recognizing that when we are triggered, it's actually a finger pointing inward. So we go inward and we see, okay, what is it? You know, life is happening, showing us, and it's reflecting back what's inside of us that needs to heal. And the more we clear inside of us, the outside changes. Our internal environment influences the external environment. And when we change internally, the external changes as well. And it's that reflection on the outside that either points to us and says, hey, there's something in here to look at, mm-hmm. or, hey, you're doing great. Look at the shifts you're making. And you're more in alignment right now in this moment. So life is reflecting that. The one thing you said about, you know, when something happens and you can have compassion for the other person, for the projections or anything like that that's coming from them, and we look at it as like, okay, this is an opportunity for me to heal. When we look at it that way, we can have compassion for them. We can have compassion for ourselves, because what we're doing is we're seeing the purpose in it, and our defenses are down.
Yes.
Right? So many people are walking around and they're in like defense. Nothing's happened and they're already defending. Like they're already like got these walls built up and this fear of hurt or fear of attack. And I get it. The world is wild right now. It's wild to navigate. But the more we stand in defense and fear, the more we're actually feeding the fear in the world.
Absolutely.
So compassion is that recipe. I feel like we can really break down those walls and take down the bricks that are dividing us.
Absolutely. Yeah. At Christmas time, I live on the Sunshine Coast, and at Christmas time, I was in the city working and I was heading into the coast to take 3 weeks off. And on the going, navigating through the city to get to the ferry, I think maybe because also I knew I was on a break. I could take my time. I didn't have, I don't know. I just felt like really free because I knew I had this time off. And navigating through the city, and I really realized there is a lot of angry people around. And it was very interesting that I don't know, in this, it just felt like this moment where the world was showing me how much anger there was and how people just, you know, how people were not able to cope with what was going on. It was too much. And I was looking at certain situations where people were freaking out, and I realized, wow, you know, that situation didn't equal the response that it got. And I realized, wow, okay, there is a lot of people who really are hurting in this world and who really have either no coping skills or are just on overload and it's just overflowing. And I realized that there was the people that responded back with anger, or the people that just did nothing. And I realized that, oh, it's, you know, this is the time to have more compassion for people and not to respond with more anger. But then again, are you triggered by something? You know what I mean? Do you need more work to do? So there, I realized that what you're saying, in the world more than ever, it just, there was that moment that really showed me how much people are suffering and how much overload there is for people. And that this book, I realized I felt like being, oh, I wish I had books to give out to people. Here, read this, and to help, you know, be able to, you know, find what it is that you need to be able to do your own work, to be able to let go of some of that anger, that frustration that you're feeling, in a more healthy way, rather than putting it onto somebody else that situation didn't really, you know, equal to.
Mm-hmm. What you're saying is, like, it just reminds me of just how reactive people are versus responsive, right? We can respond with love. We can respond with compassion. And at the same time, we can respond and be really stern and go, you know what? No, it's not okay. Like, you know, we can even have a healthy expression of anger when it's warranted or when it's like purposeful, right? So to be able to allow the emotions to move and be processed moment to moment, in a responsive way, a responsible way, as opposed to a reactive way, then we'll actually be able to interact and communicate in a way that we can both feel heard and understood. And then there's resolution. It's possible for resolution. But if we're both in defense and we're both, you know, defending our fight to be right or whatever it is we're defending, defending our anger or just being triggered by something that's not even really what's happening, but left over from something else, you know, or that overwhelm or that kind of accumulation. Mm-hmm. And then we blow up like a volcano. And I've had those moments. So, you know, as much as I stand in peace and compassion and empathy, I have moments, and I've had moments where I blew up, and I've like kind of looked at it and go, okay, what was that, you know, just kind of like took over? What was that part of me that was, what was I defending? What am I, you know, what am I feeling inside that I feel the need to attack? When we can take ownership of that, when we can really look at those shadow parts of ourselves or those reactive parts of ourselves, we can actually become part of the solution and not contribute to the ever-growing you know, anger and defensiveness and separation that's happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard. It's hard because we're humans, right? We're humans, you know, doing this human journey, and life isn't always easy or fair, you know, and so we're doing the best that we can. And it's hard to watch when people are, you know, trying to put that onto other people when it's not really theirs. So, but I guess everybody has, I believe in karma. So whatever interaction those two people have, you know, there's a lesson to be learned somewhere in there for each of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the key behind this, the message is be willing to look underneath it, find your lesson, find the piece that's what's really, one of my favorite quotes from A Course in Miracles is you're never upset for the reason you think.
Yeah.
whatever's in front of you and what you think you're upset about is more than likely not what's really upsetting you. So our willingness to actually, like you say, be still, go inward, create the space and the time so that you can do that and really feel into it. And you might not be able to do it in the moment that you're triggered, but you can bite your lip. You can hold back and go, okay, there's nothing I can say right now that's going to help because I'm totally triggered. And I'll even say that, like in the past, I've definitely said that is like, I'm triggered right now. I cannot have this conversation. I need some space to process what's going on. And then can we come back and have a conversation? Because right now I don't trust what's going to come out of my mouth, or I don't want to say something that is going to make, you know, things worse and say something that I don't really mean. So it's okay to ask for permission, even from another, for that space and say, you know what, I can't be here right now having this conversation. I need some space to process this and then we can come back. Have you found that helpful? Is that something you do as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm a need a moment type of person. So I love to give myself permission to be able to ask for it, and also to be able to say to someone like, you know, I need to wrap my brain around what's happening right now and why this happened or why I reacted this way. And that's the only way I know really how to deal with things. I can say that I can be confrontational if that's the only way you want this to go down, but it's not going to be beneficial for anyone. So if we can both come back with our own thoughts and in a better energy, and I think for me more so, it's just the energy needed to shift. I need to come and be in a more grounded space to be able to have a conversation where I can come at it with compassion, with love, with self-acceptance, with all of the things that you need to have a very vulnerable, real conversation. When I can be in that space, that allows me to be able, and the other person, to be able to heal. That's, I feel like for me, that's the only way to do it. I'm sure there's lots of other ways, but for me, I know I need to kind of, because when confrontation comes, I feel like I come out of my body. So I want to kind of get back into my body. I want to feel like I'm a lot more grounded and centered. And then I feel like I can think, but not with my mind, with my whole being, if that makes sense, coming from more the inside of who I truly am, not thinking the situation out logically, if I'm making sense. Mm-hmm. Like I want to know that I can come at it from a place that feels more authentic and real, rather than I think I'm right because. I don't want to come from that place. I'd rather come from a place that's a little bit more honoring myself and the truth of what's really happening.
Yeah, it definitely feels like like you said, a more grounded place, a more centered place. And that's a space where we can be more responsive and more responsible, the ability to respond versus react. When we're reactive, we're, you know, in our heads or in the emotion or caught up in the knee-jerk kind of wounding of whatever it is that it's hit up against. So yeah, to be able to have the, you know, give permission for the other person and for you to have the space to process. Yeah. The other thing that's coming in is there's times where I've had these experiences where I just kind of pause and ask in that moment, like, is it worth is it actually helpful right now for me to try and say anything or do anything in this time? And that's usually when the other person's triggered and I'm not. And I'll often see or feel or sense that space is needed. So then I'll just kind of walk away. Like I'll just kind of let it go, because it's just sometimes when people are so in that space of reactivity or defensiveness, they can't hear. It's, you know, there's nothing you could say or do. And I've had those experiences, like I could say, I love you, and they would react to it. Like it just, they're in that space and they're just not capable of having a conversation. It's in those times where we're actually doing them a service too, to be able to say, okay, I just need to walk away. Let's give it some space and we'll talk later or not. There's times in public even that I see something going on and I tune into my heart. Am I meant to say something? Am I meant to participate or intervene or do something? And if I get a no, I follow my heart. When I was younger, I did not do that. I wanted to help everyone. I wanted to be like, oh, I have a solution. I want to help them. I want to, like, I just wanted to be in all of it and help everyone. But I realized that I really have to trust my intuition and trust my inner guidance, my inner knowing, and when I'm meant to say something, when I'm meant to show up, how I'm meant to show up, and when is the best way that I can serve all of humanity, as well as honor and, you know, kind of sustain my own energy at the same time.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work to get to the place where you are to have that deep knowing, right? Like you have to have had some work done on yourself to be able to really come into yourself and come from that place and then move forward based on that knowing inside.
Yeah. So again, it's a practice. And everybody can practice it and everybody can learn it, remember it.
Yeah, everybody can do this. We all have the ability to do this. And, you know, that every time you figure something out, you've got a new tool. How did you do this? And it's just gathering as many tools as you can, because the one tool or two tools are going to help with some things, but not with everything. So you have to just be able to, you know, keep working on things, and each layer of that onion will give you a new tool to be able to deal with things. Yeah.
And then your confidence is built up along the way, and then you become more confident, like capable and able to navigate life. With a little bit more ease, a little bit more grace.
A little bit more ease and definitely more grace. Absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for joining me for this conversation and for sharing your life and your tools and your energy with us. And if anybody wants to get a hold of you, can you share how they can reach you?
Yeah, I have a website. I have two websites. The one is lifeaskellytaylor.com, and that's Kelly with an I. And then the other one is Elements Wellness Center, and that's center with an RE.com. So either of those, you can get a hold of me. And I'm also on Instagram as Life as Kelly Taylor.
Beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate you spending this time. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody, for listening and for sharing and for continuing to join us on this podcast series. We are all healers. And if you haven't already got the book, run out there and grab the book. The book itself is healing. Just pick up the book. Ordering the book is healing in itself. And this is a great book to gift. If you know others that are struggling and you want to share it with them, the messages in it are really relatable to anyone. So that was my intention behind this book, is that it could be all inclusive. Anybody could relate to this and find a gem or some insight and some tools to help them and support them in their life to be more of a healing presence to self and to others. So thank you all for being here. I appreciate you. I honor you. I see you. Until next time, love and blessings.
Thank you for joining our global healing movement and podcast, inspired by the international best-selling book, We Are All Healers. Ordinary people with extraordinary intention will heal the world. Order your copy today on your favorite online bookstore. 100% of the royalties go to support our Heart-Led Living Foundation humanitarian projects. Together, we can uplift humanity and unify us in love for each other and our planet.